confessing one confession, with our hearts hold to one truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions, named us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Sing it again with our lips. Let us sing it. With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts hold to one truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions. Named us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of God.
Sacrifice. God, everyone, amen. This is Brother Joseph, amen. Today is April the 23rd, 2023, amen. Just want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today, amen. I am very excited. It's been a few weeks. I've been letting the message, if you will, that was broadcast last, and I'm learning that to give it a week or so, or 2 weeks, maybe even more, depending. I mean, just so that people can hear it and get it in their spirits, amen, because there's a lot of materials being covered, amen. All right? And like I said, I'm very excited. All right. Well, praise God. Like I said, my name is Brother Joseph, amen, and it's 9:03 in the morning, amen, and I want to welcome everyone. Thank you for taking this opportunity to be a part of the broadcast, and if you have any questions, you know, post them on the feed there, on the chat box there, and I can get to them, and we can get going with this kingdom of God, amen. Let's see here, I need to start up. Well, there's a lot been happening, amen, and a lot obviously happening out there in the world, and thank God for the kingdom of God. You know, I like this passage in Psalms 91. You guys should be familiar with that passage. If not, I encourage you to get familiar with it, because it's a scripture that, I mean, it's a passage. You know, the whole chapter is just great for prayer, amen. And covering your family, covering one another. But in the Message translation, he says, you sit down in the high God's presence. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. And then it says, I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. You know, obviously David went writing all these psalms and stuff and using his life as an example, you know, of what he was going through. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of pressure, you know, on his life and the grace of God on his life. The kingdom that had been given to him, anointed him with oil and so on, the prophet. And a lot of people obviously didn't like that, right? And they were not at all happy about the situation. Well, there was a lot of enemies coming against him. So I see here, you know, writing this and knowing that as long as he maintained his relationship with the Father, God was going to cover him, God was going to protect him, amen. And obviously it's the same thing for us today, so long as we maintain our relationship with the Father, amen. And there's a lot of things that take us away and distract us, amen. And the world is full of ideas and designs. I mean, that's what it's designed for, is to take us away from our focus on God, amen. And how the scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father would not be with you. Amen. You can't be one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. You either got to be one or the other. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in Revelation, I don't want you in between. I wish that you were either hot or cold, not in between. So it's very important that our lives stay committed to the Father, amen, and stay committed to the kingdom. Now, hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this precious day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach and to teach your word, Father God. How are they going to know if they haven't heard this word? How are they going to know if they haven't been taught the word? And I thank you, Lord God, for your word that says you've set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. And I thank you, Lord God, for the roles and the assignments that have been given to us and the areas that we're fulfilling, Father God, according to that anointing that's on our lives, amen. And I thank you for your word that says that at my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I thank you for fresh oil right now, Lord God. I thank you for fresh presence, Father God. I thank you for, Father, your word that says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live, amen. And we come now, Lord, and we partake of you, Lord God. And I thank you for this precious word, Father God, as this message, Father, of your kingdom gets put forth and set out. I bless you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for all those that are partaking and will partake, Father. I bless your people, Father God. Amen. For what is blessed cannot be cursed, and what is cursed cannot be blessed. Hallelujah, Father. Well, like I said, you know, there's a lot going on out there in the world, and I want to share a scripture here. And this is in Psalms chapter 14, and this is again David. You know, it's a sad place, you know, when you get to your life and you don't acknowledge God, you don't believe in God, and you just operate based on your own instincts and your own feelings and your own knowledge. And, of course, we know that we've been talking about the way of God, right? There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? But it's a tough place, you know, when that seed has been planted in the heart and it's got to be rooted out. Pull down, throw down, destroy, then build and plant, right? Jeremiah 1:10. Make sure I got that right. I always quote that, but I want to make sure I got the order right as far as how he words that. God is very specific, amen, on how he does things. And, you know, we are the ones that kind of muddle things up, and I don't want to be doing that. All right, so see, I have set thee, this day set thee over the nations, and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy and throw down, and then build and plant. You see, so God is, as Paul said, I won't build on another man's foundation. All these philosophies and views, you know, I just saw a post from a brother, you know, born again, son of God. And he says that he just took his, I want to read this because this is ridiculous is what it is. Today, I received the sacrament of confirmation. It was a big day for me. What? That's Catholicism. You can look in the back there. You can see the Virgin Mary in this photo way back in the corner there on the little pedestal. I guess that's Virgin Mary. I don't know. What kind of foolishness are we involved in, right? See, we have to have distinction. And I've shared this hundreds of times. Distinction, right? Distinction, what is of God, what is not of God. It's not about being good or evil. It's about God. Amen. The tree of life. Amen. There's only two trees in the garden, right? You can choose good and evil, which is the knowledge of good and evil. And the scripture says that in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die, not physically, but you're going to lose the direction of the presence of God. Versus the tree of life, which is God, which is the way of God, the kingdom of God, and so on. The will, the way, the word. I'm sorry. The will, the word, the way, the work of God. Amen. How he wants us to do this. And right now, we've been talking about the way of God, amen, and and how that, like I said, there is the way that seems right in a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, all right? Well, we don't want to be, obviously, going after that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We want the way of God, amen. We want to know from God. We want to hear from God. We want to have the ear to hear and the eye to see, amen, what the Lord is saying to the church. And but we're not going to do it when we're, obviously, don't have a strong foundation, and then, therefore, something comes at you, and you think you got to get the sign of a confirmation or whatever that was, and you don't have your foundation. Your foundation has been exposed, you see? And so, I mean, that's the way it is in the religious system, right? I mean, and a brother or sister that's carnal, and they don't know necessarily what to go at. They don't have a specific path in their lives. And the main thing is that that foundation of Jesus Christ has to be laid in our lives, right? The foundational principles of Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3. This word has to be laid in our lives strong so that when something comes to us and it doesn't line up with the word of God, we can quickly say, no, that's not of God, man. Yeah. And it gets kind of exhausting, right, as a son of God or daughter of God. But there again, this is why we have to be led of the Spirit, amen. We can't just jump on everything that we see that's out of order. You know, as Brother Jeff shared with me multiple times, don't cast your pearl before the swine, Brother Joseph. You know, if they don't want it, then don't try to force it on them, man. And that's a tough pill, you know, because you understand and you know the way of where somebody's headed. And you know the outcome of that situation, and you don't want to see that. But, you know, people have to learn, I guess, on their own, right? All right, so we're going to go ahead and talk about this outline now. And we've been covering quite a few areas. I'm just going to highlight the Roman numerals here on that outline. So the Father is the destination, right? We know, and that's the goal and the purpose, right? And because see, as a son, right, in light of the inheritance, right, as a son, okay, as you grow up and mature, well, then it's the Father that unveils these areas that are going to be a part of your life, all right, that are going to give you that sense of purpose, right? And so as you grow up, more and more gets revealed. Well, this is why Jesus had to go back to the Father for the next purpose of his life. He was here on the earth, he fulfilled the work, and when he went back to the Father, God assigned him other duties, if you will, as a son of God. And this is the way of God, right? There is a way that seems right unto man. Man foolishly tries to work out his own life without God. And as I read in Proverbs 14:1, maybe I didn't read it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And God is looking for people that understand. He wants disciples. He wants sons of God and daughters of God that have grown up and come into some maturity in their lives. And as he says in verse 2 here, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. Filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Wow. Well, you know, there again, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. People living after their own path, after their own desires. And the thing about all that is that we know where it's going, right? And basically, you're following somebody, which, again, this is all idolatry, right? You're following your own idols, your own ideas and views, and eventually you're going to end up in the ditch. All right? So, but again, the Father is the destination, right? John 14, 6. Let's take a look at that. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see? And he wasn't just saying that, you know, I am the way, the truth, and life. It's to say that this is the way you're going to get saved. Which, by the way, it's not your soul that gets saved when you get born again. It's your spirit, man. All right? We've covered that a lot of times. And that spirit, man, he gets the breath of God, the life of God, right? Breath in your spirit, divine nature of God. Now there's something in your life that can give you direction and confirm God's word in your life. All right, by the mouth of two or three, let every word be established. As you get into the word, amen, and you seek the Lord and you grow and you grow and you grow, God continuously reveals that word to you to bring the next section or portion of your life. Again, the inheritance that he's giving you. By the way, the word of God is the inheritance. It is the contract. It is the will of God. See? That will, again, has to be understood. And the only way you can understand this is in your relationship with the Father. As Jesus said, I am the way. Do it like I'm doing it. And so, again, you know, that reminds me of the verse in verse 28 that I love. You heard me tell you that I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and the purpose of my life. Any son or God or daughter of God, that should be the cry of their hearts always, is that the goal and the purpose is the Father, because the Father is the one that gives the inheritance. This is the way, you see. He gives that inheritance to the sons and the daughters that he can trust. And if he can't trust you, then how can he confide with you the greater riches, as Jesus said? All right? All right, so that's covering a little bit about that section. Father's the destination. Well, then the next section is way of mankind. And that's where, again, that's where we're going to start out here. So many verses to cover, right? And so, like I said, the way of God versus the way of the unregenerated, or the way of man. See, so Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Let's look at that. Jeremiah 10, 23. Praise God. And you know, Jesus showed us very clearly about loving this word, amen. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to follow my word. And that's what it boils down to, is that my life, my suke, my mind, my will, my emotions, what I desire, what I dream of, what my goal is, versus God, the Father, the Word. All right, Jeremiah chapter 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then he says in verse 24, glory to God, and this is a son of God that desires correction in his life, that wants to do it the right way. That's being conscientious, right? Your desire to do it the right way. Amen. Oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Amen. I don't want to be annihilated. I don't want to be, obviously, I don't want to die before my time, before I perform what God has had me perform in this earth, the work. I don't want to go before my time, right? And so, again, it's not in man I know that the way of man is not in himself, outside of God, you see. When you get born again, now you have that Spirit of God in your life, the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God is only going to testify of Jesus Christ. He will never receive worship for himself. And it's very important to understand that, once again, the way of God. The Holy Spirit only directs us to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ brings us to the Father. Let me see if I can find that verse. That's, praise God. Whew. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter, I think it's, no, verse 3. For Christ, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. You see, quickened in the spirit, you're going to recognize that God, that Jesus Christ is bringing you to the Father. You see, in other words, Jesus taught us how to be a son of God, amen, how to be a mature son of God, and not how to go after this world and all the distractions of this world, right? He emptied himself, he made himself of no reputation, right? So again, man can't find the way in himself. He's got to have God in order to be able to bring that way into his life, the way of God. Now, Jeremiah 17:9, all right? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart of man? Remember, the heart of man is made up of the spirit and the soul of a man. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The spirit man is the breath of God, the life of God. He has the preeminence, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and let's see, how's it go? And the very God of peace sanctify you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray, therefore, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. The way of God, amen. And in that spirit, soul, and body, right, the spirit man is the preeminence. He has the authority of God, not your soul, not your body. Now, you can exercise that authority from your soul, in other words, by God, you see. But again, the authority is in spirit, not in the soul of a man. That's why you can't go head-to-head with someone and start arguing with them and button soul to soul. You're not going to get anywhere. Nothing's going to get accomplished. It's got to be born of God. Whatsoever is born of God, Scripture says, overcomes the cosmos. Amen? But it's got to start with God. And this is the issue, right? We're going to get into this, the ministers versus the sons. And that the minister, because he has the grace of God in his life, he thinks that he can just pull it out any time he wants. No, you still have to be led of the Spirit. And we'll get into all that. But and then verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, only you in the spirit, in your own spirit, by the Lord, can understand the heart. I, the Lord, I search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, I love this in verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary, glory to God. Is the place of our tabernacles, or is the place of our holy place, is the place where we get together, amen. And for me, you know, and the scripture's clear about starting in the morning with God, right? For me, in the morning's the best time because I'm not distracted. I don't have a lot of thoughts racing through my mind, and therefore allow all that to get me off track. And the morning hour, the dew of the morning, amen, the matrix of the morning is so important and clear, amen. And so, in other words, as the scripture says about Jesus, Jesus says, I came into the world. Let's see, how's it go? John 16. I think it's John 16. You know, I've shared these verses so much, and at the first, I don't think that I remember the verse. and then right away, praise God, the Holy Ghost quickens. He says, I came forth from the Father. This is John 16:28. And again, and come into the cosmos. I came forth from the Father and am come into the cosmos, the world. Again, I leave the cosmos and I go to the Father. Amen. Once again, here the origin of God, the origin where he came back to is the origin, the beginning that we have to go back to. When we start losing our direction, when we start losing our path, we have to go back to God to get resynced. Amen. Synchronized. Amen. So that everything's on the same page. Because I don't want to be taking a right step and the Lord's directing me to go this way, the left. You see? Amen. All right. Now, I came forth. I originated. I came forth from the Father into the cosmos. And when I pray now, I realize that when I'm coming forth and I'm getting before the Father, and as the latter part of this, again is an oscillatory repetition, which means I'm doing this all the time. I leave the cosmos and I go to the Father. When I go back to the Father, I'm getting restored. I'm getting strengthened. As the scripture says, he that dwells, Psalm 91:1, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the covering of the Almighty. Going back to that place is that place of restoration, that place of strength, amen, and getting us restored back in our minds, getting us resynchronized with the Father, getting in the presence of God. As Moses said, amen, I don't want to go up unless I got your presence, amen, Exodus 33. I won't go up unless your presence goes with us. Wherein shall it be known herein that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that your presence goes with us? And that's the distinction of a son of God or daughter of God, is that they have the presence of God. And then he says, wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that your presence goes with us? So shall we be separated, sanctified, a Nazarite unto the Lord from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Amen. Praise God. I'm getting a little animated, praise God, because, you know, it's really clear, amen. You know, it's just so clear when you're seeking the Lord that that's where he wants you to stay, always pursuing God. All right. All right, now, and Jesus in Matthew 7:13, right? Again, you know, I love how the Lord taught us his word, amen. As the scripture says, he taught them in parables, amen, those that were without. But he said here, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. We're talking about the way of the unregenerate, the way of man, amen. And many there be which go in thereat, but because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto Zoe. This word here, Zoe, God's life. Four words, different Greek words in the New Testament for the word life. And this one is Zoe. And few there be that find it. Amen. You see, you have to continuously pursue God in order to find God, obviously. Amen. And the beautiful thing about this, and let me see if I'm going to cover this one. No, I'm not. But I'm going to go over this one. This is 2 Chronicles, I think it's 15. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you right now, Father, for your precious word, your precious Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me. Amen. Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In other words, if you turn away from the Lord, then he can't follow that. He can't be with you. But if you're pursuing, your heart is always wanting to stay right with God. Amen. You have a repentant heart, a meekness about you, right? Humility. And you're always wanting to seeking God. Then God will continuously be with you. And bring that direction and bring that purpose and bring that sense of significance and reality and real, that I'm valuable, that I'm important. Amen? And that's called the sonship. That's a signet. That's a seal. In other words, like you preserve grapes, you know, and make that jelly, right? You preserve them, you seal them, and you hear that pop, and you put the cap on it, screw it down until the time of unsealing. And that's what God does in our lives. He keeps us sealed. He keeps us preserved until he needs us. That's the part of being led of the Spirit. When he needs you and puts that breath in your spirit, and all of a sudden you turn in, or you go in a certain direction, and all of a sudden you light upon a person, all of a sudden you think about a person, you begin praying the Holy Spirit, you begin looking for the Lord for direction in that situation. You see? And for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen. The weos, the fully matured. Now, Romans 8:19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation or creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. The world needs the sons of God, the daughters of God. The world needs those individuals that are going to manage or do it the way of God. All right, now, Matthew 15:32. Praise God. Matthew 15:32. He says that Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, led of the Spirit, right here, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You see, it takes a lot of strength, amen, to stay focused on the Lord, amen. And thank God for the grace of God, amen, that provides that unmerited strength, amen, that unmerited divine grace upon the heart, amen, the grace of God on our lives, the unmerited favor, amen, that keeps us encouraged, keeps us going forward, the divine influence that constantly is illuminating us, that's the grace of God, amen. And the scripture, oh, I love that scripture, and it says that, I don't want to quote it right now, but, oh, man, praise God. Okay, so, lest they faint in the way, you see, if you don't continuously have a heart to pursue the Lord, then you're going to faint, because the soul will faint. We learned that in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, here's the thing. It's about, again, strengthening this foundation, right? Proverbs 14:15, he says that the simple believes every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going or to his way. The prudent man looketh well because he seeks advice and counsels and purposes from the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 14. See, he gives that privilege of who? He gives that right of bringing that counsel and direction back to the Lord because it belongs to the Father. Proverbs 8, 14. Counsel is mind and enterprise, glory to God. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I understand what you're going through. I have strength. I have all the resources you need to push you forward and move you forward in the direction that I desire. Amen. My gosh. Oh, man, the word is strong. Praise God. The word is life unto those who find them. Praise God. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. We need the teachers, amen. We need that doma gift of God, amen. 9 different Greek words for the word gift. One of them is doma. Doma means to make a gift of a gift. God will take a man and prepare him and train him and teach him his ways. Teach him his word, the will, the word, and doing it the way of God so that he can get into the work of God, his portion, his inheritance, and turn around and give him back to his people. Let me tell you something. The people don't always want the gift of God. And they're used to the appointment, right? They're used to the shepherd, right? But apostolic, prophetic, teacher, evangelist. And he gave gifts unto men. He gave domas unto men, not women. All right, I don't want to get into that right now. So Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, if you're trying to pursue the Lord and trying to understand what God has for you and the portion of that he has for you, and you're constantly focused on many, many directions of trying to get that direction from God and not just staying on course with the Lord, amen, as a ship, you got to keep it steady, right? Discipleship. You keep that ship steady, amen. You keep it focused and going forward in the Lord, amen. And eventually God, by his sovereignty, amen, because I didn't even realize, you know, that I was doing the work of God and what God had apportioned or planned for me. I didn't even know I was doing it. I didn't know my voice was going to the nations, right? And like I said, this sister, you know, she had a manifestation of prophecy. Phineris's. And she said, Joseph, someday you're going to be teaching nations. And you're going to, this time of preparation wasn't for you, it was for the nations. You see? And again, I didn't know I was doing the work of God. I turned around and you know, years on into, you know, sharing this word and building this library, right? This is a library, a thesaurus of you know, sincere milk of the word is what I call the first portion of this discipleship training. The second portion was let us go on into perfection. And that's what we're discussing, right? We're discussing some matters and truths that require a little bit more discipline and a little bit more character out of our lives. All right, so now, John 2:23, the wayside. And we know that, again, the goal of the enemy is to keep this word out of our lives. Amen. Because if this word can get in your heart, it will produce the kingdom of God. It can only produce the kingdom of God because it's the seed of the kingdom. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And that's kind of the case, right? You got a daughter of God, son of God, the grace of God is on their lives and they're operating in miracles and stuff. And many, many turn around and believe and they follow that for a while and then until the next, you know, superstar. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all. Men is italicized. Italicized words in the King James Version are words that have been added. So omit that word. And needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He already knew the number one strength of an individual, mankind, is self-preservation. You're always going to think about yourself first. That's why Jesus taught if you seek to lose that desire to preserve yourself, save your own life, you'll find it. But first, you've got to give it up. You've got to lose it. You've got to. Matthew 16, right? Matthew 16. You know, I share the word on all these things because it's not my word, right? I'm just the mouthpiece. The grace of God is on my life, man. I teach this word, glory to God. If you want to hear it, you'll hear it. If you don't want to hear it, you don't want to hear it. But God, like I said, God has a way of getting this word to us, amen. All right. Verse 24, 16, Matthew 16, Jesus said unto his disciples, not unto his believers. You got to believe, amen, and you got to continue to pursue and allow your life to be disciplined. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross is that desire to want to direct your own life. You give that up, amen, that burden, that strength, that will destroy your life because you're moving your own direction, you're only living your own life. And for whosoever will save his suke, his soul, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his suke for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own suke? The whole cosmos. What are you going to get? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his suke? You see, the great exchange is the principle that Adam lost the life of God, the presence of God, because he saved his life. He took upon himself a direction that God said, don't eat of this tree, and they went and ate of it anyway. The other sad thing about it is through the woman is how the enemy had planned to take mankind down, to take the sons of God down. Because once that governmental role changes from the order of God, as we see in our nation throughout the world, throughout the nation. See, because woman, when you look up that word, I love this word, P-L-A-I-N-T. In the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary says, to bend easily. It wasn't given to the woman to rule. The woman cannot rule as a man. It's just not in them. Now, they can manage, you see. But when a man rules and puts his foot down, a son of God, amen, daughter of God, I mean, the son of God, about a matter, that's it. Matter settled. It's closed. That's called governmental. All right, now. All right, let's see here. Now, so he knew all the way, right? And again, mankind is always looking for his own promotion, for his own recognition. He wants to get recognized, and he doesn't know how to do it. And he gets, you know, loud, if you will, with his philosophies, ideas, and views. He wears loud clothes because he needs significance. You see, he drives, you know, this flashy car, flashy watches, flashy rings, flashy necklaces, flashy suits, whatever, you know. Because they need significance. They don't realize that they need that significance from God, that sense of value and premium, the signet, the seal. Because obviously they're not following God. But praise God, I mean, when God begins to get you back in your right mind, a sound mind, right? A mind that can be corrected and trained and disciplined, glory to God, amen. Look out, man, because this son of God or this daughter of God is on their way to the Father. All right? Now, so, 9:34, but they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. Isn't that typical, right? A group of guys, and they want to know who's going to be first, top dog, top banana. Amen. Now, oh, man. All right, now let's see here. So, again, the soul, like I said, is always trying to think about himself first. Now, this one is very important right here because mankind has fallen many a times to the strange woman. That's what we're going to discuss now. Oh, actually, let me read one more verse. Jesus, knowing. Jesus was a marismos man, amen. He didn't live in both worlds. He had the distinction of understanding what was of God, what was not of God. For the word of God, 4:12, is quick and powerful, right? Hebrews 4:12. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divided asunder, marismos, of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Only God's word can do this in our lives. So that's why we have to get the word, the word, the word, the word, the word in our lives, so that we can have that distinction and see what's not of God, what is of God. It seems like a simple simple concept, right? But, oh, man, okay. So, Matthew 20. Now, this mother, right, she had a desire for her sons to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. The point I'm making here is that she was thinking about how to preserve her sons and their futures. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing from him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit one on the right and one on the left. Jesus answered and said, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup of what I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Are you sure that you can go through the baptism of sufferings the way I've been going in my life? You see? Baptism of sufferings is one of the seven baptisms, and these are from the doctrine of baptism, Hebrews chapter 6, right? And but see, this wanting to be first thing is of, you know, the desire of this thing is rooted in the soul, right? Let me first, right? And this is an apostolic principle. That which shall be first is going to be last. But if you humble yourself and stay with the process, that which is last shall be first. And there's so many ways to look at that principle. You know, for example, the body of Christ, right? In her most lack of glory time period, she's being made last. But if the body of Christ will humble themselves and come into the way of God and learn how to go into the mountain of God, I mean, let us go up to the mountain, the house of the Lord, well, we will learn of his ways. You see, if we will get to that place in our lives where we want the discipleship and the training of God to be a part of our lives and get taught and get trained by those that God has ordained to do these things, you see, then we will be first, but not first with an attitude of look at me, first with an attitude of humility. Because God is looking for servants that he can train and make disciples out of them and bring them into maturity, right? Make disciples. All right, now Proverbs 5:5. There's a lot, you know, I've told my sons many times, the word of God has a lot to say about a man and the woman, right? The strange woman. But the thing is that God wouldn't have put all this information in here if he knew that it wasn't going to be such a struggle for man, you know, to put down his desires and what he wants versus God. My son, Proverbs 5:1, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear unto mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. That you understand how to be discreet and you understand how to keep that knowledge until I bring it forth out of your spirit. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb and her mouth is smoother than oil. Hey, baby. What you doing? Ooh, that's a nice, you know, whatever. Nice shirt, nice shoes, nice ring. You losing weight? But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Man. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life, her ways are movable, and thou canst not know them. Her ways are movable, it says. Her ways are vacillating, they quiver, they shake, they stagger. You see, there's no stability there. And we have to understand, too, that, you know, again, the number one strength of a soul, right? What is a woman that's single going to be thinking about? Even ones that are married, right? They're trying to preserve for themselves. They're trying to hoard up and keep it all for themselves. Well, that's the way of the soul. Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Now, I know they wrote this. They probably should put an exclamation there because that's a pretty emphatic statement. Hear me now, therefore, O you children of God, amen, and depart now from the words of my mouth. Well, you know, God told the Israelites many, many, many times, and he's continuously saying that to the body of Christ, if you will keep my words, amen, and do my commandments and do my will and do it my way, then I will put none of these diseases that I put on the Egyptians. Now, when he says put these on the Egyptians, it says that it's saying that because they didn't follow me, this is what befell them. All right? Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And this is, you know, if you look at this from another perspective, this is all the Babylonian way. They take members in the body of Christ, and they're talented. They can sing, they can preach, they can prophesy. You know, they got a lot of money. They're big givers, and they'll exploit that to the very extreme, and literally cast them out to pasture once they don't have anything to offer. And it's tough, you know, when you look at the Babylonian system. You got these entertainers, and they're constantly whipping them, you know, get it. We got another program we got to do. We got another song we got to do. We got another, you know, they keep whipping them and getting them and going and going and going, prodding them. Eventually, you know, those individuals are very old and they're singing the same songs, they're singing the same thing they've been doing for 40, 50 years, and then you don't hear about them anymore. And they say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ears to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. You see, I was almost there in all evil, man. But something told me, drink waters out of your own cisterns and run in waters out of your own well. In other words, stay with what God has given you. Stay with what he's revealed. You see, keep your aspirations in check. Your desire should always be in the Lord, right? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your heart. See, don't let those areas get corrupted, right? Keep your heart with all diligence. If you don't protect and preserve and keep your own heart, from the evil woman, from the evil seed, from the way of the unregenerated, from the way of the cosmos. You see, all these ways that get us out of God, off God, then you will go into a path and direction that God did not ordain for your life. All right? So, now look at this one. This is Deuteronomy 7:3. All right? Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters shall not, thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou make unto thy son, shalt thou take unto thy son. Listen what's going to happen. And this is what the Babylon system does, right? They're married with all kinds of philosophies and beliefs. You got somebody that believes they need some kind of confirmation from Catholicism. And but he says, for they will turn away thy son from following me, and that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And this is what, you know, we should do with all religion and anything that's false and not of God. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of this earth. If you will love the Lord your God, amen, and serve him and keep his commandments, right? So, break down their altars, destroy all this perversion, amen, for you're a holy people. Because the Lord loved you, and because, verse 8, you would keep the oath, glory to God, which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, Babylon, glory to God, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And the whole generation of Israel wanted to go back to all that bondage. But thank God for Joshua and Caleb, amen, wanted to do it the way of God, amen. And all the children that went into the promised land, the way, the inheritance. Proverbs 6:24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take her thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. They want, you know, Babylon, this harlot, Babylon the harlot, she wants the precious life of the sons of God and the daughters of God. She's going to take your strength, she's going to use you, manipulate you, and then throw you out when you have nothing. No desire, no purpose of God anymore. You're destroyed, amen. Proverbs 22:14. The mouth of strange woman is a deep pit, and he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. You see, mankind makes choices outside of God, and God has to eventually turn from that individual. And before you know it, they're in a deep pit, and they don't know how to get out. Because they don't remember they could cry out to the Lord. And abhorred is rage of the Lord. He that is abhorred, raged of the Lord, shall fall therein. See, because you despise God now. You turned away. All right? Proverbs 5:8. I read that one earlier. Remove thy way far from her and come nigh the door of her house. You better stay away from that situation. All right, so don't give your honor away, verse 9. Your wealth, your value will be worthless, verse 10. You despised reproof, verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction? You see, this is a bastard, right? A son has a father that's correcting him. A bastard has a father that doesn't correct him. Amen. And then therefore you're... your perspective is all jacked up. All right. Verse 13, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, you despise correction. And almost in all evil, in the midst of the congregation assembly. Wow. It's the Lord that will take us out of all this, amen, by the Spirit of God. But we've got to be able to be wise and listen to the correction of God, listen what the Lord is saying to us. You see? And so, all right, now let's skip down to, let's see what time it is, the way of the soul. All right, we're going to start talking now about the way of the soul in Luke 17:33. And I'm just going to highlight this a little bit because I know you're full. Whosoever shall seek to save his own suke shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his soul, his life shall preserve it. You see, the mind of man, right? The soul of an individual is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the mind can be divided into three areas. The mind can be looked at it in these ways. Imagination, reasoning, thought, logic, and intellect. All summed up in one word, understanding. Why? In dealing with the soul, one of the primary things that will be encountered is the desire to possess knowledge. Through the above five functions, the soul now man will accumulate information for the purpose of coming unto a conclusion. The will, the mind, the will. The will is made up of the decision, the choice, the intent, the purpose, and the desire. These five areas are summed up in one word, determination. Mind, will. Emotions are made up of the five physical senses, sight, taste, touch, smell, hearing. Also within this realm are hatred, love, and so forth. You see, and the Bible teaches us very clearly about emotions, right? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses, emotions, exercised to discern both good and evil. Senses here are the faculty of the mind for perceiving, understanding, and judging, the organ of perception. And part of that is your emotions, your organ of perception, how you perceive things. I don't feel that's the right way. Well, you better check that with the Lord, amen, your spirit. And this is why the spirit must have the preeminence in our lives, amen. And because this is the place where God communes with you, where God restores you in strength and vivaciousness and desire to serve him. Out of your spirit, man, amen, comes forth the life of God, amen. John 1:4, in him was Zoe, life, and the Zoe, the life of God. In him was life, and the life was the light, which is the word phos of man, amen. The direction should always come out of our spirits, amen. And this is our inheritance, amen. Learning this process, amen, in God. Always constantly going back to the Lord, going back to the Lord, going back to the Lord. And getting the counsel and the direction from God. For counsel is mine, I am understanding. Amen. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this precious time with your word. I thank you for your power of the scriptures, O God. I thank you for the word that has fallen on good ground. Amen. And I thank you that word produces fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold fruit. And I bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts, hold to one truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions, named us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the
Jesus, the Son. Sing it again with our lips, let us sing it. With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts full to one truth alone. For He has erased our transgressions. Named us, called us His own.
Sacrifice.
above.